Sonali.
So I guess I'm speaking to the original motion now.
Yes, you are.
By Lydia. Last year, my experience in the Management Evaluation Committee was very positive. Listeners who were not elected members, including LSB members who were not elected members, although that's a moot point now, showed up and actively participated in the meetings. I don't remember whether you even took one vote. We might have taken one, but maybe one, I don't know. But that was the only one in the entire year. And so listeners, listener sponsors who were committed and attended each meeting played a really big role in crafting the work. So I am in favor of keeping things simple and doing it the same way as we did last year. I also want to say that if we are going to have a resolution on listener sponsors, that courtesy, although I will vote against this, that courtesy be extended to staff members who are not elected.
Alan.
Yeah, I'd like to propose an amendment then that if this motion then include, we have a 3-to-1 ratio on the board. This seems to be disempowering the staff in favor of listener sponsors. And so I would like to see that this amendment, which again, like Sonali, I will oppose, but I would like to see it have a 3-to-1 ratio so that, let's say there's 7 LSB members, so they're going to be 7 voting members. Then one quarter closest approximation mathematically to one quarter of the added non-LSB members be staff.
Okay, Alan, you're making an amendment.
Yes.
So would you state it, can you write it, did you get one of these little forms?
Oh, God.
And yeah, let's write it. We need clarity on what you're saying. And for purposes of the board, would you state it again? I move that. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I move that.
I think I have it. Alan moves that this motion be amended to state that one quarter or as close an approximation as possible of non-LSB members be staff.
Is there a second to the amendment?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion over what we're now going to call the Minsky Amendment? Okay.
Yeah, I have a question, Alan. We haven't had a lot of staff response in the past, even the turnout for the election. So my question is, if they don't apply for the position, can it revert back to the listener seats? In other words, or do we end up having then less non-LSB participation? That's my problem. That's my only objection to it.
Yes, they would have to show up. I would agree to that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Please include that in your little write-up.
Alan,
yeah.
What did you say? I didn't hear you.
Excuse me. Now let's look at the other people who wish to address the amendment.
We have Arturo, Dave, and Judy on the set.
And then, Sherna, were you on
that? No, I didn't hear what Alan said.
Okay.
I was trying to get it.
Arturo.
I have to admit that this one is a little bit more complicated, but I agree with the spirit of it, which is that we include the listener sponsors, and I would agree also that we include the staff, either paid or volunteer. There is an enormous work to be done, and we need to get to it as soon as possible. I'm sorry to say this. I don't know what to do at this point, but we need to resolve this and in the favor of the participation as broad as possible.
Dave.
Yeah, two things. One, I'm not going to bother to make it an amendment, but I think that in terms of committee composition, we should accept majority and minority reports from every committee, so it's not the vagaries of the composition that determine what formulation gets to the board. That way, everybody who participates gets their proposals put forth. The other thing, in terms of Alan's amendment, I'd like to propose a substitute that just strikes listener members and change it into members. Members have, there are two kinds of members in the foundation. They're defined. If we strike that, then we can all use our own good judgment in terms of who's on the committee.
Is there unanimous consent on that language? Seeing no objection, then it will be part of the amendment. Okay.
I just wanted to make clear that it's not the LSB members. These are non-LSB members.
Members of the Pacifica Foundation.
Yeah, that's right.
Judy and Margaret.
Non-LSB members of the foundation.
Yes. So that's the wording, Alan. Non-LSB members of the foundation.
Chair recognizes Julie.
I just want to make a quick comment. As a director, we were coming under a lot of heat from directors from the other signal areas for not having LSB I mean, for not having listener sponsor members on our committees as voting members, people were shocked, and I know that I had to explain myself on a number of occasions. So I hope that we do take action on this. It's something that I hope to see come about this year, because it's difficult, especially as a director, to then answer to the rest of the network where every other station is doing this except for ours.
Well, on information, just that the outreach committee always took votes from everybody.
Yeah, we had participation, but we need to formalize it. All right, now, Margaret.
And that's it. That was the thing.
Yes, I too think we need to move forward with this motion. And in terms of doing it like we did last year, I'm afraid I don't think that's good enough. I mean, I sat on at least two of those committee meetings where, as a board member, votes were taken, and I, as a LSB elected member, was not able to vote. It is true that following that meeting, that last vote, we didn't have one for quite some time, and I agree with Sonali that the committee then worked very well with all of who was in the room. But I do think that it does need to be formalized so that we don't go through what I went through last year. That's the board, but also that we really make it clear to listener sponsors and others that we are welcoming them, that we're officially saying that they can vote, and it is not then left up to the chair or to the particular committee to then determine whether on that committee listener members can vote while on other committees they can. I think there's some inconsistency, you know, with that. So I am speaking for the motion. I think we need to move forward with it.
You're speaking for Lydia's motion.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Point of information.
No, excuse me. The secretary has a clarifying question.
Okay, with Dave's substitute motion, you state that the words listener sponsor members should be substituted with non-LSD members of the foundation, but it shouldn't be of the foundation, it should be of KPFK. Because the foundation...
Somebody from New York wants to serve, I'm fine as long as they make meetings.
Well, no, but part of... I'm sorry, but part of my resolution specifies KPFK.
What if Donald Trump...
Affiliated with KPFK.
Yes.
So that clarification for the secretary is members of KPFK signal area here.
I want a point of information.
Who's speaking?
Donna.
Donna.
Donna. For some reason, your voice is off the wall, and I always say, Donna, why did you...
This is God speaking, okay?
Okay, go ahead, Donna. Go ahead.
Okay, now I wanted to point out that not every station is doing it the same way. Yes, they do allow listeners to be voting members, but when I talk to WBAI, they limit listeners' votes, or voting members, to two. I don't know what they do at the other stations, but I think we need to recognize that listeners need to be on the committee, and yes, they need a vote, but we should know if there are, figure out if there should be some kind of limitations, because we don't want to lapse into the LSB not doing the work they're supposed to do, and listeners, whoever they are, coming in and overfloating or whatever you want to call it.
Before I go to David, I just want to give a piece of information. At the Houston LSB, there are no listener sponsors on finance and management review. That LSB declared those fiduciary committees, and that the board said they could not turn over the fiduciary responsibility of those two committees to non-elected people. So I would just say, in our own listening area, both finance and management review need to review carefully about executive sessions. Because if you're...
But they have no people of color either.
Well, but that's not the issue. But wait, Margaret, that is not the issue I was addressing. I do not condone the fact that Houston is very poor on diversity, but that was not the issue I was addressing. I was addressing... Well, no, but that's not the issue I'm addressing. I time do not want it linked to a weakness on human or civil rights. My comment is not about the makeup. It was a discussion over whether on finances and management review they could turn over this to non-elected people. I'm not saying we should, but I just wanted to make it clear that those are two committees in Houston that they do not. Okay, now let's go to David.
Yeah, that was sort of what I was going to address. We've dealt in terms of information requests with real difficulty with the ED about even advisory members, local station board members, and having to sign documents around confidentiality and the question of LSB members as agents of the foundation, essentially, and any associated liability. So I think we do need to separate out this thing, and I don't have an answer right now,
but I think
if we're also talking about empowering, I don't like doing it that fast because I haven't really had a chance to think about it, and I can always come up with something that sounds great at the moment, but you go home and you realize it's stupid. Particularly we're going to have things like personnel committees, grievance committees, contract oversight committees at some point above and beyond the issue of finance. So one way of handling it is, you have executive sessions. The other way to handle it is you have it limited to LSB members, and I'm not ready to make that decision.
Okay.
So I'd like to refer that portion of it, the question of confidential committees. So I guess I've moved it for the time being. We exclude those, the executive review and finance committee, until the structure committee can come forth with a proposal on it. And at that point, we would add that depending after we've had a chance to consider it.
Wait, is that an amendment? That's an amendment.
That's an amendment.
Is there a second to that amendment?
Point of order.
I'm sorry. I need to report on time point of information. It's now 2 o'clock. We haven't gone to public participation, comment.
I'm going to declare this agenda item closed for public comment. Remember, our policy is after public comment, we can have 2 for and 2 against, so we actually can go. So we're going to public comment, and I'm proud to have the list in front of me. The first speaker is Dr. Kweku Person Lin.
She left.
Oh. Yeah, I'm very, very sorry. We were late getting to public comment. From Asiatic Rhythms, Wendell Pasqua. Is it? I can't read this. Pasqua, please. Are you here? Good. Come forward. There's. In fact, these folks are programmers. Let's give them a nice welcome.
Thank you to the board for having us. I'm also a KPFK member and a programmer, and we represent the Asian Pacific American Islander Collective, and we do the show called Asiatic Rhythms. We thank KPFK for having us in the air for the past 2.5 years as the sole and singular program in Southern California that addresses youth culture in the Asian American community.
Beautiful.
And I guess we're just here because we're really interested in the process, and because we're committed to the airwaves and to the community that we serve, we feel that we need to interact and partake in these forums. And up until today, we had no idea what to expect, and we're just
we apologize for
it. Hey, we hung around. We had a show last night, but we still hung around. But
Good for you.
As of, I think, earlier this week, I think Tuesday or Wednesday, we were informed that our time slot of regularly between 1 to 3 on Saturday mornings has been moved to 3 to 6 a.m. And although we feel that we are cooperating with management, we are interested in the process as far as trying to mediate between the community that we serve, because we feel that that time slot now compromises our role as the only Asian Pacific American voice on the airwaves to bring in communities and guests. And we're just here to open ourselves to the board. This is Adriana Koo, Alan Tang, and Carlos Veluz, and there's about 8 of us right now, and we've actually been getting into the groove, so we're just here to, I guess, show face, and if there's any comments and suggestions as to how we can better serve KPFK and the airwaves, we're open to it, and we're willing to work with whatever we have to go through.
Thank you for your programming on KPFK, Wendell.
Don, I wonder if they could tell us what reason they were given for the change.
And what show was moved into 1 a.m.?
I think Truth Seekers and Asiatic Rhythms were switched. We were given an extra hour, and up to this point, we've had talks with Nate and Ava, and we just want, we're still trying to set up a meeting so that everything could be ironed out. But at the same time, again, we're also trying to mediate the community that we serve, because they're expressing their concerns as far as KPFA's commitment to their demographics. So,
and you're talking with Armando Godinho also?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, we're absolutely delighted you're here. Thank you. After doing a show last night, staying up and yes, that's right. No, you go ahead. But anyway, we normally have a policy not to respond to public comment, but we're so delighted to have you here.
Yeah, but
we don't have time. Yes, Eva, do you want to make any comment about this time?
Yes,
change?
Just quickly. Several music programmers have asked to have their time slots changed around. Mm-hmm. My response to programmers was to talk to each other and see if there can be agreement on this. I have not personally spoken to any of you. I'm glad you're here today. Mm-hmm. And the reasoning for that was because KRS-One is coming to our airwaves, that his show following Fidel would be a natural transition.
We understand.
Yes, my understanding is that there's discussions going on with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not aware that the final decision has been made.
We understand, yes.
So we can talk
about
that.
Yeah, we just wanted to check in and actually participate. We're more interested in the process.
Yes.
Because we understand we're going to be patient. We will cooperate. This is important to us. And we want to be able to, in the future, have future considerations for a better time slot and continue to serve the community.
Right. And I believe Michael Novick, the chair of the Interim Program Council, mm-hmm. is here. And you should also informally meet with the Interim Program Council.
Great. Thank you so much.
Wendell, thank you. Thank you to
Thanks
all of you for coming.
And
we're very proud of you. We're very proud of you.
And some of us would like to wish you a Happy New Year.
That's right. All of us. Jack Van Aken.
Hi, I'd like to congratulate you on having less chaotic meetings than a year ago. And I mean it sincerely. You've made a lot of progress. I mean, a year ago it was really painful to sit through these things. I don't want to address the issue of the motions that were just being discussed, but on the process, what's happening is that the board is doing the work of a committee.
Yes.
And that's why you're having five-hour meetings, and that's why you're so burnt out that you don't want to go to committee meetings. So I really regretful that there's not a committee to refer this type of motion to, but the point is it's perfectly fine to get a motion on the agenda and to deliver it the day before the meeting, as long as the board is prepared to automatically table or move it to a committee. But, it's a complex, this is really a complex motion, and I can't figure it out. I mean, some parts sound good, some parts don't sound good, and I think it's a mistake to go ahead and vote on this.
Thank you. We welcome to the microphone a former member of the LSB who served with distinction on the LSB, Harrison Weil. Is Harrison here?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Harrison.
Thank you, Don. I'm going to speak to the issue about how programmers can appeal decisions that are made by management, which I think is an important issue that may get lost here because we're dealing with several issues at the same time. And before I start, I want to say that, Eva, I got a phone call from a volunteer who said that I was going to get my premium eventually, and I think that was a really great move. I think that there are people that were in my position that are going to have a much more positive attitude toward KPFK, and I hope that you'll use that approach to some other problems to encourage interaction between different members of the KPFK community. I think that will produce a lot of benefits. About the reviewing programming decisions, I think everybody realizes that the heart and soul of KPFK is programming, and that that's the thing that most people are most interested in. I think it's also we've all been committed to the idea that power should be shared, and I think the bylaws are fairly clear about what the LSB's role in programming is. It does not say that the LSB has the authority to overrule programming decisions made by management. It does not say that the LSB has the authority to adopt programming policy. What it does say is that the LSB has the duty to make sure that the programming decisions are made via a process that is fair and collaborative. And I think there's always a tendency for people who are deciding how things are to be decided to arrogate to themselves that authority, so that there's always a tendency for the people who are deciding how some decision is to be made to decide that that decision is going to be made by them. So I think if you look at this proposal carefully, you'll see that there is a considerable amount more power to make those decisions given to the body that made the proposal, namely the Program Oversight Committee. And the buy-in is that this board will have the authority to, for example, overrule the decision made in regard to the Asiatic
rhythms.
Okay. And this perhaps goes to the other point, that listeners perhaps don't get as much input as might be appropriate.
Thank you, Harrison. Myla?
Uh-huh. Thanks. First of all, I'd like to just remind people that three-quarters of this board were elected by over 2,000 listeners to represent the listeners. And this idea that the people who sit on the board are not listeners, I think, throws everybody into some confusion about the composition of the governing structure here. During the Pacifica National Board meeting, a lot of individuals commented during public comment that listener sponsors were somehow excluded from committees, and I really think that it was a big lie, because a lot of the people who got up and made those complaints were people who actually participated in committees. So I understand that one of the points was that individuals felt that they should be able to vote on committees, but really, there are people who represent listener sponsors who were voted by over 2,000 listener sponsors participated in both of the past elections, and you folks, at least three quarters of you, represent those individuals. So the other thing, Margaret, I just wanted to mention that you may not be aware of it, but the local station board at KPFT is not all white, and you did say that. I know that the representatives that they chose to represent to be directors at the national board were all white, but now that's changed, and there's an African woman who will be one of the directors for the national board for the next. Teresa Allen resigned, and there's an African woman who will be on the national board from KPFT. So I think that I have a lot more to say, but that's about all the time I have.
Thank you, Myla. Welcoming to the microphone another programmer, Francisco Martinez, in Spanish language programming. Bienvenido, compañero.
Gracias, gracias. Well, I should speak Spanish, but I'm not doing it in English tonight. Actually, the reason why I'm here is because I've been actually following the different interpretations of how KPFK should function, how KPFK should do things, how KPFK should integrate new communities. And on that respect, I thought it was very important to bring the issue of what is considered a collective and what is considered an individual. And taking into consideration that at KPFK there is people who is actually working as collectives, and they're doing a lot of work to bring other communities into the station, as opposing to another group of people who is actually working as individuals, and they're doing totally an opposite work. In other words, trying to not recognize the fact that KPFK should be and is made of of collectives. In that respect, I think that I would like to bring to all the members here to your attention that I would like this board to reconsider the point of what is considered a collective and what is considered an individual work within the station, within the programmers, and within Pacifica, because I think that's a problem that I think eventually you're going to start listening more about it, but it's a problem that is affecting, I'm sure, a lot of shows, but I'm going to specifically speak of our show. You know, we have been having that problem because there are interests of individuals who want to pursue their own personal agenda opposed to the agenda of a whole group of people that want to do a lot for the community. So in that respect, I think that in my case, we've been getting closer and closer to COFECA, which is the Comité de Festejo Centroamericano, which is the bigger organization in the world outside of Central America who is celebrating the Central American Parade here in Los Angeles. And I think that that's a good example of how we can pursue the goal of KPFK and especially Pacifica. So I really appreciate everyone for this. Thank you.
Thank you, Francisco. And we have your question here. I've made a note of your question. Please, Luis Garcia.
Okay. Please remember that you have 90 seconds.
Yeah, I want to comment on those on the two motions. In regards to voting rights for non-LSB members on committees, fiduciary committees can just go in executive session without excluding anyone. Voting rights for non-LSB members on these committees is democracy, not unwieldiness. And once the membership voting members are set, the voting rights will be set. Any other new members can come in and participate without voting rights, but the issue is our right to vote on this. Decisions that are made. On the other issue about the complaint procedure or process, I want to ask the question that could be clarified because it says existing programmers would have the right to complain. I would like to include the banned and fired, that is to say past programmers, as well as future programmers that get denied programs, that they should be included in this grievance process.
Thank you very much. And the chair of the program council, Michael Novick, welcome.
Hi. Just speaking as an individual.
Okay.
although I should say that the IPC will be meeting again on February 27th at the station, 10 a.m. if people want to come to that. That's a public meeting. We did manage to achieve a quorum on Saturday, although that was not a business meeting. I wanted to speak to the question of listener participation and also to support the motion about allowing LSB members to join committees without election. I'm not sure if you voted on that. I couldn't quite figure out what the process happened.
Okay, after a public comment.
So I do think that direct democracy is superior to representative democracy, and that to the extent that we can institutionalize direct democracy, that's better. As far as the finances and the review of management, I think listeners have a lot to say about that. I think the listeners are the source of most of the finances of the network, and that there should be as much transparency as possible. I served on a news director search committee, for example, with a couple of people here, and you'll recall we signed confidentiality agreements, and nobody had boo to say about it. So I think if you have something that has to be dealt with in that way, you deal with it in that way. I do think that it should be as open as possible, and I didn't agree with all the particularities of the proposal being made. I actually like Grace's proposal, but I think you voted that one down without waiting for listener comment. I'm not sure why. If you want to reconsider that, I think you should, because I do think that the committee should be open as possible. On the IPC, we did vote after some discussion that, as you said, committees, that they're open to any member of KPFK.
Thank you, Michael. Dele.
I know that in the last life of the LSB, you were dealing with the question of the banned and the fired. Since we have just 90 seconds, I would strongly propose that Dave should maybe work with Leslie, because I have discussed with both of them that it is not just enough for the station to issue an apology, and I'm sure that the management will be very inclined to doing this. It is not just a question of apology, that something must be done to give some service back to those communities who suffered disenfranchisement on air as a result of the banning and the firing of those folks. But I am saying that there's an aspect of the work that Dave has been involved in, and in addition to what Leslie has done, and I think a combination of that, coming back to this LSB, will prove a very, very historic step. We do not want just the question of the truth and reconciliation, which has not actually giving justice to some people in some parts of African continent. We hope here that the truth and reconciliation that you intend to do for the banned and the fired will really bring justice to those communities that suffer disenfranchisement. And then very quickly, the management is also discussing the question of they're very willing to support radio collectives in the inner cities. I do not know the mechanism by which this LSB is going to help with funding so that we move from the issue of rhetoric, of commitment to communities of color, to really assisting those communities in terms of training. And lastly, I want to say this, and this is very, very serious, I see your red flag, that there are some aspects, I hear us talking of democracy, inclusion, and that people should be able to join our committees to vote. I am ashamed to say that there's some work of the Race and Nationality Committee which is very, very lacking in Pan-African perspective. And that is a shame to those who are members of that committee and did not open that process to consult and inform people on a very wide scale.
Thank you very much. Mo.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I have a couple comments, short comments. One was, we were together with my dear friend Don White on Martin Luther King Day. We got only 4 members. You mentioned 4 members of the LSB out of 24. And I asked my friend Don, where are the rest of the LSB? So go ask him. I said, right now I'm asking you, all of you, if you really believe Martin Luther King Day, you should be there. So this is my first comment. And the second, I have a couple other, but it's because the time is very short. I want to know if, as an activist, as a listener, if there is any budget for travel. If in past at least 2-3 years, let's open the booth and as a my delegate, you are, we vote for you guys. So I obligate you open those booths and look how much money we spend on the different delegation to the different parts of this country or in the overseas. I want to know what is the policy, how you want it, how you spend money on that budget, if there is any budget. There is no any clarification, especially I ask the general managers here. Use this money fairly for everybody if there is some money, and we want to know in past 2-3 years what happened to those budgets. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. And at the end of public comment, we'll cite a one source, a website where we can. Okay, now we have, let me see, we have, let me ask, Casey, are you, is Casey here? Is she, does she want to speak? Excuse me, Casey, I'm sorry. Now, I need the direction of the body. We've done 20 minutes, but there are actually 30 minutes for public comment. We were saving 10 until later. My proposal is that we take the rest. There are only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We take those listener comments now and adjust maybe later. Okay, Gordon.
He
left.
Can you clarify what we're doing? Because we need listener comment before...
That is true. What I'm asking the board to do to kind of indulge us so that we hear these listener comments, we're actually going here probably to 25 minutes instead of 20, which means we'll probably have 35 minutes of listener comment today.
Thank you.
Gordon of Los Angeles is not here. Casey McFall.
Thank you.
Thanks. I just wanted to say that while I appreciate the intent of having listeners speak before every vote, we're being asked to speak to two motions which we have no access to. I haven't seen the motion about the one coming from the Program Oversight Committee. Well, it's being passed around and shared by a whole bunch of us, and it hasn't gotten to us there yet. So anyway, I mean, I don't mean to say this to hold up any of your work today. I think you need to go forward with what you're doing, but I would request that motions, especially those that are coming out of committee that have been put together before this meeting, be included in the agenda. That on the agenda item, instead of saying motion from so-and-so, please spell out the motion. I know for, you know, what I do every week is I go through the Board of Supervisors' agenda to see if there's something I have to go speak at public comment. I don't mean to compare you to that terrible group, but that, you know, so that I know whether I need to contact a deputy before a meeting, and if that doesn't work, whether I need to show up at public comments. And we haven't had the opportunity to do that. So I can't even speak to those two motions, and I can't even ask questions about them in 90 seconds. So I'm asking you to revise your procedures for putting together agendas and letting us know what they are a week in advance. Thank you.
Thank you.
John, can I clarify something?
No. Okay. I think we're actually going to go ahead. John Doe 3. Excuse me. Do you want to be on the... Okay. I didn't know that. You're not listening.
90 seconds. I've got pages and pages. The men's toilet upstairs is not attached to the floor. The men's urinal downstairs has been defective for 2 years. There are no latches on the stalls for the last 2 years. When I say a time, that's how long I've known about it. The lack of the lock on the back door is 3 to 4 times over its useful lifespan. It has failed dangerously in the middle of the night many times. The door closers on the front door have been failing for 2 years. The tree is lifting the entry slab and can be replaced for a few $100. We can't get a wheelchair through the front door. I've known that for 1 year and been planning for it. I left a paint striper to stripe our parking lot in our station for over a year. Nothing happened. I used it for something else, and it's still available. We bought the paint. The first incoming caller line for our call-ins has a 60-cycle ground fault. It's been true for 6 months. The fax machine uses extremely expensive carbon film. We've paid for that machine 3 or 4 times. Our Office Depot fund hasn't been paid. We're struggling to find other sources because we can't afford to pay Office Depot as a vendor. The plumbing on the transmitter was underscaled. It's very difficult. We have one of the most powerful transmitters in the United States. I'd like to know who paid the $2,500 to replace that plumbing. That was 6 months ago.
You have
failure recently.
10 seconds.
I'll save it for next time.
Thank you.
Yes. Could you provide us with a list of those items? That would be good. Including those you didn't mention.
Yes. Yeah. Now, yeah. And then also, it's unfortunate that the management does not have the time now to respond, but we'll just move ahead here, and then do make that available to members of the board. Fernando Velasquez.
No.
Not Fernando Valenzuela.
Valenzuela didn't come. Didn't show up. Sorry.
I once referred to it.
I want to thank all of you for the fantastic brainstorming session that you had about how a newsroom should be put together, what kind of vision it should have, and in what direction it should go. I'm just hoping that we could have the time, find the time to do brainstorming to all the different departments. It was marvelous. It was fantastic. You guys did a great job. Thank you.
Thank
Number two, for those who were not part of the hiring committee, I want to tell you this. I'm looking forward to you to work with you guys in a collaborative, corporate basis, burying the hatchet among some of you guys, so we can all be friendly and a nice family, thinking about what keeps us together and not what divides us. Number two, because we speak in Los Angeles collectively over 110 languages, That gives me the sense that people continue to hang on to their culture and their linguistic heritage and patterns because they do care about the people they left back home. That takes me to the conclusion that we must continue talking to our listeners here in town about what happens back home. Number one. Reason number two is because the Fortune 500, the other multinational corporation who have the hatchet man named George Pooch to do their work, they have conceded and they have reached the conclusion that every corner of the globe is a piece of real estate for them, that they, anywhere is a good place to exploit their resources and outsource.
10 seconds.
In those 10 seconds, I want to tell you, I want to put together a network of the 6 counties around the signal area, a national network that includes the affiliates, an international network that looks at the world community as our community, not just Southern California. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Our co-KPFK news director, co-director, it's Veronica, Leslie, and Raphael. Veronica?
I was just going to speak really quickly to the motion about listener sponsors or members of the station in terms of their voting.
Excuse me, whose phone is that? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Start her time over. Can you start her time over?
In terms of their voting rights and in terms of their participation on the various committees, from what I do understand, it was made very clear that those committees are advisory committees on the local level, and therefore they bring their proposals, they bring their issues to here, and all the decisions are made here. So I don't quite understand why people are so against listeners, sponsors, members, whomever, actually having the right to vote on these various proposals that are brought here. The other issue I was going to bring up has to do with Francisco covered a bit of it, but I wanted to be a little more specific. There was an issue brought before the National Board, and from what I understand, this is an issue that was, or proposals that were decided upon 2.5 years ago, and nothing had been done about them. And from what I understand, that at this last meeting, various comments, proposals, issues had been brought to the National Board by 3 individuals in particular at the station who are active members, programmers, whomever. But I do feel that the original proposal, I think Lydia had spoken to, this was all put together by the anti-racism group. From what I understand, that was done in 2002. From what I also understand, somehow, some meeting, and this is all rumors, and I think it's quite unfair to the programmers at KPFK. Am I done?
10 seconds.
Okay. The meeting, if there was a meeting that was put together to put this new proposal together for the National Board, was never announced to any of the programmers, was never done in any sort of democratic, transparent way, and so I think the process by which that proposal was brought to them was wrong, and I would like you guys as the local board to revisit that.
Thank you very much. And the last two, also a former member of the LSB who served with distinction, Leslie Radford.
Are there any former members?
Yes, there's someone in Peoria, Illinois, I know, who's a former member of this who did not serve with distinction.
First of all, I want to thank our PNB reps and the PNB in general, and I want to go on record for finally starting to implement that race and nationality policy. It's been held up for 2.5 years. To Veronica's concerns, and I think I heard Arturo voice the same concerns, the Spanish language programming has been referred to the National Programming Committee for implementation, and certainly I think they would be open to your suggestions on precisely how that happens. I also want to thank this body for finally getting around to the issue of listeners on committees. Thank you so much. This has been a cause dear to my heart. As to LSB members on committees, let me point out that on June 19th, 2004, this body voted to allow any LSB member to serve on any committee they wanted, and it worked out just fine. Elections of LSB members are a way to keep people off, not to keep people on. And I would strongly urge you to use all the human resources you have available in any way people deem they are able to serve. The same goes for support listeners on committees. I strongly support Lydia's proposal on this as well. What I'm hearing here is, again, real efforts to keep listeners out of the process. And I don't know what the fear is here. I hear that listeners have somehow sabotaged committees. The fact of the matter is, yes, as Myla said, you represent listeners. You were voted in, thank you, you were voted in a few months ago. Who's to say that 6 months from now you're going to know what those listeners want? You need listeners on committees to hear our ongoing concerns. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Rafael.
Thank you, Don, for adding me to the list. And I just want to make note of what I think I see evolving as a new collaborative spirit on this LSB, and to applaud that. I have the feeling that the motions around the inclusion of listeners and the way that the LSB members themselves are included on the committees is going to pass. And I think that would be a very positive step with respect to healing, or beginning the process at least of healing, some of the divisions that have been rife here in Los Angeles between the different factions. And I think it's a very, very positive move, and I really applaud that, and if it in fact happens, you know, and hope that we can move forward in a more collaborative spirit. By the same token, and a little more negative note, I'm sorry to say that as a member of the Interim Program Council, an elected member of the Interim Program Council, I haven't seen the resolution from the Program Oversight Committee, and I hope that you'll, because I haven't seen it, I can't really speak to its content or its value, but I would hope that you would vote against it only for the purpose, because I don't think that you can table it at this point or refer it back to the committee. I'd like for the IPC to have some input on it before it comes to you. And so I hope that you won't approve that at this time. I'm not saying it should be voted against. I don't think it should, because I don't have the content of it. But I do hope that we can move forward in a more collaborative atmosphere between the Program Oversight Committee and the IPC too. So again, thank you all so much, and for coming closer into the spirit of the entire foundation and how the foundation operates. Thank you.
Thank you, Raphael. Now, we're going to move very quickly to board voting on the issues that we postponed voting on until after public comment.
Point of information, we used 33 minutes for public comment.
Okay, we used 33 minutes? Okay.
And I have a point of clarification.
Okay, Donna.
Yeah. Leslie brought up a point that I want to ask the body. Do we know that we are following all motions that were passed in the prior session of the LSB?
No, but you know, I'm going to, I think it's a legitimate inquiry, but I'm going to rule the inquiry out of order for any kind of addressing of it, because it's such a complex issue. It's a good one. We need to review motions we've passed and policies and things we've done in the past. Is there follow-up, and are they being implemented? But we're going to not deal with that at this time. But it's, I want to note the inquiry. Yes, Alan.
I want this meeting to move forward, but we don't have an opportunity to respond to...
No, unfortunately, we do not. Now, here's what we should do. There were some legitimate concerns raised, which I'm hoping board members made notes of. For instance, someone asked, where can we get financial stuff on the Internet? There are people... One listener sponsor wanted to know about all the money spent for flying people around the country and conferences and in-services and so on. So the question here is there a place on the website at KPFK where financial data is reflected that people can link to off our website? Eva first.
Currently on Pacifica, so we're going to make the transition to the KPFK site with the financial reports.
I'm sorry, did you say we're going to?
Yeah.
It's on Pacifica.org.
It's on Pacifica.org.
That would be a starting place, Pacifica.org. David?
Yeah, that contains the consolidated budget, which has all the items broken into line items. So there was a question about travel expenses. You can see how much I allocated
right
to travel and all
so
that.
So in answer to that one inquiry. But unfortunately, we must move the agenda. We cannot deal with these auxiliary issues, and we will not be responding to listener comment. Let's go. Can we go first to the proposal on... Go ahead.
We have been in this meeting for 3 hours and 40 minutes.
Oh
can we
God.
Get 5 minutes break so we can go to...
Can we vote? Let's vote first.
No. I think we need straw votes.
Get up.
No break for us?
No.
But you can get up and walk around a little bit. We will allow her. You're losing it. Yeah. All right. The chair is going to insist that we vote before we break up because someone could slip out the back door. Let's go at the Program Oversight Committee working on a complaint process for existing programmers. Sherna.
Could we have copies to the board people at least? I don't have...
It is sitting there, and as a member of the committee, it's been sent to you several times.
It was not sitting here. It was given out to the few copies available. I passed to the listeners at the beginning of the meeting, so you keep referring to something that doesn't exist.
Now,
I would like to clarify, first of all, that this was publicly posted. It's been publicly posted.
No, these comments are out of order.
I want to discuss the motion.
Yes, but that's what we should be doing.
Okay.
Now, keep in mind, people, that the process now is only this.
I'm going to speak to
you. If something has come up in public comment, we can take 2-4 and 2-against, but we're not going to reopen the full debate. The chair recognizes Sherna.
Okay. I want to point out that there are three issues that people are not thinking about as you read this and as we've discussed it. It makes it clear that this is an interim process. It also makes it clear that there's a division here between the role and responsibility of the IPC and the Programming Oversight Committee. It is also clear, any of us who've been involved in unions, you know that there are grievance procedures that deal with procedures for violation of procedures. If you read the very first sentence, what this deals with is a violation or an alleged violation of procedure and questioning of the way in which policy has been implemented. It is not about the policy itself. So please look at it carefully. It's all spelled out here and it has been out there for 2 months.
All right. Now, the chair is interested in moving to a vote as quickly as possible. The question has been called for. Is there a second?
We don't need to call the question. That's part of our process. We're already ready to vote.
Well, I'll accept that. If we have no further discussion, David, the only reason the question would have to be called for is to end debate. But David is saying that we don't need a call of the question, but that would be if there was no further debate, people. Does anyone want debate?
Not if there was no further. We agreed 2 pro, 2 con, that's it. We don't vote to close.
I know, but we haven't had 2 for and 2 against. Okay, but anyway, let's go to a vote. We're now looking at the motion on kind of grievance process or program, the Program Oversight Committee. Does everyone understand what we're voting on?
Point of clarification, since we already started discussing it, shouldn't you ask for someone who is against the motion?
Mm-hmm. Well, but no one is offering to be against it, and we don't want to encourage
that. You haven't given... Oh, I see.
All right. Now, the policy is, after public comment, there could be 2 for and 2 against. Does anyone want to speak against this? Seeing none, we'll go to a vote. Those in favor, raise your cards. Those in favor of the motion, raise your cards.
David Adelson.
Yes or no?
Did you get a count?
I'm off. 19-4.
That's right.
Are there any against?
Right.
Anybody against?
Those against? Abstentions?
One.
So the vote is
19-4, no one against, and one abstention.
Very well. The next voting process will deal with the Lydia Brosson motion on LSB participation in LSB committees.
May I call for a roll call vote, given that this is being recorded and we're encouraging people to go to our website to listen to it after the fact, and it affects listeners as well? Roll call, please.
Okay. A member has called for a roll call vote.
Point of order?
Yes, point of order.
I believe the motion to refer to committee must be voted first.
You know what?
We defeated the motion.
We voted it down.
We voted it down, and yours was out of order because you tried to make it while there was a motion.
Mine failed for lack of a second. Mm-hmm.
That's right. I know there was some reason. So, Terry, do you accept that we're actually looking now at the main motion?
Yeah, if everybody thinks it was voted on.
Yeah, it was voted.
Okay. Very well. Seeing no hands or cards for discussion, we can go directly to a... Pardon me? We're looking at...
The LSB membership.
LSB membership on committees. The Lydia Brosson motion.
Point of information.
Yes, go ahead.
Are the corrections or changes that were talked about, could it be clear which are in and which aren't? I'm not clear on that.
Okay, we'll call on the secretary.
So there are a number of these.
You know, and Sonali has them as well. But let's go to the secretary to see if the changes...
From the printed sheet we have, what those are that are included.
There's one thing.
Just bullshit. Okay. There were no amendments to this motion.
The later motion.
There was. Well, let's just ask Sonali.
I have adopted excused absences do not count towards quorum for the first set of meetings before membership is finalized.
Yes. That's right. That's right.
That is true.
Excused absences.
Was that the only one you have, Sonali?
Can you read it again? Excused absences do not count toward quorum for all meetings before committee membership is finalized. For all meetings that take place before committee membership is finalized.
All meetings that take place before committee membership is finalized. And who made that amendment?
Dave.
Our secretary is doing a tremendous job. This is the most pressure cooker job in the room. We're deeply grateful for it. And she's saying that she's starting to lose it a bit because she's been intensely concentrating while the rest of us have been doodling and so on. All right.
Okay.
I play.
All right. Seeing no cards, no hands, we can go directly to a vote. This is A under this agenda item, and we're going to a roll call vote. Would you like, can you?
I can do the roll.
Okay, the secretary will call the roll.
Okay, Grace Aaron votes yes. Dave Adelson?
Yes.
Good. Sarah Amir?
Aye.
Good. Rodrigo Argueta? Good. Maria Armudian?
Good. She left. She's gone.
Okay. Lydia Brosson?
Yes.
Good. Marie Geary's gone. Israel Foyer?
Yes.
Good. Sherna Block?
Yes.
Good. Terry Goodman?
No.
Good. Kimberly King? Okay. Sonali Kohatkar?
Yes.
Good. Arturo Lemus?
Yes.
Good. Alan Minsky?
Yeah.
Good. Ed Pearl?
Abstain because of process, lack thereof.
Okay. Ray Zipor?
Yes.
Good. Margaret Prescott?
Yes.
Good. Julie Rodriguez?
Yes.
Good. Donna Warren?
Yes.
Good. John White?
I usually only vote to break a tie, but I would go on record as voting yes.
Break a tie.
Okay. And Lamont Yakey? Okay.
Madeline Schwab, yes.
And Madeline Schwab, sorry.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Sorry.
Yes.
Point of order.
Point of order. Before you do that, David is doing it correctly. He's speaking into the mic. The technical people are asking that we speak into the mic because this is being recorded and archived. David.
I started to say it, but yeah, I don't mind doing it. But just technically, call for a roll call vote has to be approved by a majority vote of the board.
Yes, I sensed there was, but you're absolutely right. We're trying to shape time here, it's well taken. Your comment is well taken.
I have 16 yes and two abstentions. Three abstentions. No.
One no.
Ed Pearl, I think, voted no. No.
Israel voted no.
And Lamont voted abstained. Terry Goodman voted no. Lamont abstained and Ed abstained. Okay, sorry.
That's right. The motion passes. Now we're going to the second motion.
The second one is this.
Okay, one moment. This pertains to listener sponsor participation
on the committee.
On committees, and I just want to clarify with David Adelson. I just want to clarify, you had made a motion, I'm unclear whether it was seconded or whether it was processed, to exempt two committees, finance and management review. Did you make an amendment?
Yeah, and I believe it was accepted without objection this wouldn't apply to them until the structure committee came back with a proposal at the next meeting.
No, we didn't vote on it. Was there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Okay, it was moved and seconded. It exempts the amendment, which we'll deal with first, exempts finance and management review only until
structure committee comes back with a proposal on it, so we've had time to think about it. Mm-hmm.